Amen. Praise God. Well, we're going to continue what we had this morning. This morning we talked about fighting for your family and the importance of it. And I encourage you, like Pastor Ed, listen to it on our app, listen to it on Facebook, because it is important to fight for your families. And I'm not going to review that this morning, but to catch this part, you need to listen to that part. Amen? And tonight, this morning we talked about the importance of fighting for our families. We talked about on Nehemiah how they weren't just warriors on the wall, but if you go and read that, he put families on the wall. Families were on the wall with their weapons and their bows and their spears. But tonight we're going to talk about how to fight for your families. And I know that you're probably, some of you probably are excited tonight and just want to get home and watch the Patriots beat Tom Brady. And I mean, that's okay. And I mean, but we're gonna go ahead and try to get this done and have you out of here in a certain amount of time. Amen. Praise God. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for the Holy Spirit here tonight. I thank you for revelation knowledge. I ask you to speak to us. Speak to us individually. Speak to us corporately concerning families. In Jesus' name, amen. I got lots of scriptures tonight, so this is more like a teaching, and I'm going to try to get through them as quick as I can, and they're going to flow with me up in the sound booth. But our hearts as pastors is to see families healed, restored, and brought back to Jesus Christ. Amen? God is a family man. Remember this morning I said, what do we call him? Father, our Father. Amen? So tonight we're talking about how to fight for our family. And the first thing I want to talk about is we must use our God-given authority that has been given to us by Jesus Christ, the head of the church. We must realize that we have authority, that we don't have to be wrung out and swung around and beat up by the devil. Amen? There is a lot going on and a lot that we're tolerating because we are not using our authority against the person or the entity that is causing this to happen. Amen? We tolerate things. We tolerate lack. We tolerate our children going through things and fighting battles. We tolerate just not a happy marriage. We tolerate things, and we shouldn't tolerate things. Amen? So for the next few minutes, I'm going to give you a few nuggets that will teach you how to fight for your family and how to use your authority against the enemy's tactics, because he does have tactics. Amen? In Ephesians, I'm going to start with Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. And it's a great place to start. And I love this, the first word, it's like emphasized, finally. In other words, pay attention. In other words, what I'm about to tell you carries a priority in your life. Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in who? In the power of his might, not our might, but his might. When we're strong in our might, we get all stressed out, don't we? We'd get rid of a lot of stress in this world if we would be strong in his might. Put on the whole armor of God. So many people don't even pay attention to that, you know? Put on the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Do you know the word wiles means? It means the schemes of the devil, the plans of the devil. He has schemes and he have plans. He has plans against you. And so you need to be able to put on the whole armor of God that you can stand against those plans, so that you can stand against those schemes. Amen? For we do not wrestle against husbands or wives. Children. We got to stop the finger pointing. We're building a strong, we're talking about families here. It says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but we are wrestling against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age. There are rulers, listen, folks, there are rulers of the darkness of this age, and we are wrestling against them. Amen. We are wrestling against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, there it is again. Take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Listen, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. You may be thinking it's your spouse. You may be thinking it's your children. You may be thinking that's your problem, or your parents are your problem. But and the devil would love for you to think that. He would love to think your problem is a person. People come against people all the time. Your brother in Christ, people get upset. Well, they didn't help me, or this one didn't do that, and they didn't do this. No, no, no. Your problem is not flesh and blood. Your battle is against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places, and the devil is working 24/7 against you and your family. It's so easy to point our finger at people. If you're going to fight for your family, you must understand this reality. I'm going to give you three realities tonight. There's probably a whole lot more. But this is so important that you understand this. Number one, the devil is real. How simple is that? He is not a symbol in the Bible. He is a created being, and he exists. And I don't have a lot of time to teach on him right now, but he is real. Studies tell us that 50% of all Christians believe that there is not a literal devil. There is. Whether you believe that or not, it does not change the fact that he does not exist. And of course, the devil would want you to believe that so that he can set you up for defeat and failure and not take him serious. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 11:14. It says, "And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light." The devil, he disguises himself. He does not approach you in a one-piece red suit with horns and a pitchfork. He's not coming at you. He's not coming at you with pointy slippers. Come on now. That would be so obvious, right? He disguises himself as an angel of light. The devil is real, and we need to catch that reality. He is working against you, against your family, against your destiny, against your purpose. He is coming against you. You talk about financial situations in your family, or just children that are off and addicted to things, and just all of these things. This is a battle that we have to fight in the spirit. We cannot win this flesh and blood. Listen, I can yell at my kids till they're blue in the face. Sometimes it's just, you know, are you hearing me? But I can pray, and God can change that situation. Amen? I can take authority over the influence over their lives, over the evil influence that comes against them. We can pray protection when our kids go off to school. We can take authority over the enemy. We are seated in heavenly places. We are speaking when we speak the word from heavenly places. The Bible says that we're seated with Jesus in heavenly places. And when Jesus left this earth, he gave us the authority over the enemy. I'm not trying to scare people. We don't have to be scared of the enemy because we have authority over him. Amen? Number two, I want you to understand this. The devil wants to destroy you. He's not playing games. There's a real devil out there. Just look out at the world. Look at all of the satanic worship and all of that. But more than looking at the world, look at the word. Look at the battle that Jesus went through and how the enemy tempted Jesus. The devil came and tempted him. Jesus talks about the devil. The Apostle Paul talks about the devil. He is so real, and he wants to destroy you. Look at John 10:10. It says, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy." Jesus said, "I've come that they might have life and that they may have it more abundantly." So the devil is real, number one. You need to recognize that. Number two, he is coming to steal and to kill and to destroy. He is a liar. He's a disguiser. He's a deceiver. He'll do whatever he can to destroy your family. Amen. Remember we talked about this morning, if he destroys the families, he'll destroy the church. He is working 24/7, 365 days a year, and he is consumed with stealing and killing and destroying. That is his job description. If you had a job description from the enemy, that is what he is working on every single day. Now let's look at 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, say my adversary, the devil, walks about, you have an adversary, the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Well, you need to tell the devil every day, devil, don't seek around here because you may not devour me or my family in Jesus' name. Seeking whom he may devour. And it goes on, it says, resist him, the apostle Paul, resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. People are going through exactly what you're going through. There's people that are going through different situations in their family and in their lives. It says it right here in the Word of God. They're going through the same sufferings. They're experiencing the same things. But it says there is a devil out there. You have an adversary. It's the devil. He's seeking whom he may devour. He has come to kill, steal, and to destroy. And we have got to wake up to that fact and fight this spiritual battle. Amen? Amen? Resisting him in the faith, being steadfast, resisting him steadfast in the faith. In the Passion Translation, it says we've got to be vigilant and cautious. Don't fall asleep. One translation says, wake up and pay attention. We've got to wake up and pay attention to this. Instead, we're all wondering what God is doing. God, what are you doing? What are you doing? Why are you letting all of this happen? You know, can you just speak to us and fix this? No, God has given us authority. We have been given the authority through Jesus Christ to stop the enemy in his tracks. We have authority over all of the works of the enemy. But you need to realize you got to stop looking at people. You got to stop looking, living in your past, in the things that have happened. Because ultimately, people are just influenced by the enemy. Some of the evil things that have happened to children and people and families. We're in a spiritual battle, folks. Amen? And we got to stop doing the blame game against somebody in our family. I mean, bad things have happened. But We have to learn how to take authority over the enemy. And we're going to talk a little bit in a minute about forgiveness and so forth. So I'm going to keep an eye on my clock. So, okay. So 1 Peter 5, 9 says this. It says, take a decisive stand against him. Take a decisive stand. You're not the only one going through marriage issues. You're not the only one where your kids may be off the wall. Families everywhere go through things, even when you do everything right, because the devil's at your doorstep. Remember this morning I said, Cain and Abel, you know, God said to Cain, sin is at your door and it desires to have you. Well, Satan's at your door and it desires to have you. And you need to tell this. You need to. We talked this morning about when Satan comes to your door. When Satan is given assignment from the big Satan, when the devil's given an assignment to come to your house, you need to believe that he's shaking in his boots. I don't want to go to that house because they're gonna bind me up and cast me out. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's look at this. The third thing that we're in this area, the third reality, the devil has to respond to the authority given to the believer. He has to respond. When you take your authority, when you believe you have authority over the enemy, and you take your authority over the enemy and over the battles that are coming against you and your family, the devil has to respond. He has no way out. He has to respond. And 1 John 4:4 says this, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. The Jesus in you is bigger than anything in the world. The Holy Spirit that's in you is bigger than anything in the world. So even though we're talking about these realities, that there is a devil and he's out to destroy you, but you have overcome him. And when you use your authority, he has to respond. That's good news, isn't it? He has to stop when you bind him up in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now, you have three weapons we're going to talk about tonight. I don't know why I'm in threes. I'm just in threes because I didn't have time for fours and fives. And two wasn't enough, no. Three weapons. Now, our number one weapon that we have is the name of Jesus. Let's look at Philippians 2, 9 through 11. Listen, this is all in the Word. We have these weapons. It'd be like you have all of these weapons in your house. You have all of these guns. You have all of this protection. And somebody comes into your house and robs you, and you just kind of stand there and just don't do nothing. And the Satan's coming to rob and to kill and to steal the victory from your whole family. We've got to do something with this. Amen? Let's look at Philippians 2, 9, 11. Our number one weapon. It says in verse 9, therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Our number one weapon is the name of Jesus. Have we forgotten that? That name carries with it all of the power of heaven. When we speak the name of Jesus, heaven pays attention. When we speak the name of Jesus, devils pay attention. Amen? It is above every name. Every knee has to bow. Every tongue has to confess. Amen? Even when you just talk about the name of Jesus, I don't know about you, but the anointing and the power of God so many times is felt when you speak the name of Jesus. Jesus gave the entire church, he gave us, his family, the authority to use his name. And when we use the name of Jesus, we are using the authority that we have in him. It has been delegated power given to you and I by God. What are we doing with it? Are we just, oh, this is cool, this is so spiritual, I like the word, it's so good, and we go home and go to sleep, we do nothing with the word. Man, we should be, I'll tell you, I believe that as children of God, we're not operating in the place that God has called us to operate, all of us, amen? And God wants us to get into that place. He wants us to begin to use his name. Ephesians 1 tells us that God gave Jesus power and we are joint heirs with him. I didn't bring out all the scriptures, but we are seated in heavenly places with Jesus. I know it's hard to believe, but we have the same power that he has. And when we do it and we believe it, we see results. How many of you have seen results when you've used the name of Jesus, when you've taken authority and used your authority? So when we speak, we're speaking from the seat of authority. We've heard this. We've heard many teachers teach on this. When we address the hell world, we do not address it in the name of Pastor Ed Daniels. In the name of Pastor Ed, I cast you out. The devil isn't going anywhere. All right. In the name of Pastor Judy, then. No, that don't work either. Amen? We address the hell world in the name of Jesus. Amen? You have the right and the authority to look hell in the eye and in the face and say, leave my family alone in the name of Jesus. Leave my finances alone in the name of Jesus. Leave my body alone in the name of Jesus. There's so much, man. You got the devil in this, if you could see into the spirit, causing all of this havoc. But when you raise the name of Jesus, man, he's gone. He's got to get out of there. Hallelujah. You have legal authority. You know, have you? How many of you have? You're out on the road and you're driving, and you know they're working on the roads in a lot of places, and there's police officers that are standing there, you know, and they stop. Well, you know what? All they have to do is hold a hand up, and we obey them, don't we? We stop. We wait. Because the police officer carries authority behind them. The police officer is carrying the authority of that city, of that state. Well, we're carrying the authority of all of heaven. And when we put our hand up and we say, in the name of Jesus, Satan, you will leave my family alone. You will stop. He stops in Jesus' name. He stops. But we got to put it to work. Amen. You can get great revelation. You got to work. The devil is under your feet. The Bible says he is a liar. He is a master of deception. If he's telling you today your marriage is over, he's lying to you. If he's telling you there's no hope for your children, he's a liar in Jesus' name. Amen? Acts 3:6 says this. Peter said, "Silver and gold do I not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And guess what? He walked. He did it. In the name of Jesus. That's all Peter said. In Acts 16:18, it says, "And this she did for many days." This was a spirit following Paul. "But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, 'I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her.'" And what happened? It came out that very hour. We got to get a revelation of the name of Jesus. That is our top weapon. That is our number one weapon. This is not a rabbit's foot or a rubbing a genie's lamp. This is power that you have out of your relationship with Jesus Christ. And the position he put you in when you entered into the family by being born again, he seated you in heavenly places when you became born again. He gave you that position. You know, like I'm talking about not a sitting position or a standing position. When you work for a company, sometimes you move up in positions and you become the manager and the general manager and the CEO. Well, you have been put in the position where you are joint heirs with Jesus. You are seated in heavenly places. You have been given the same authority that Jesus has been given. And if he said in his word, you speak the name of Jesus, you can bet God is not a liar. He will cause the enemy to take his hands off of your family, whatever it is that you are praying for. Amen? Amen. Demons have to flee at that name when you pray and you speak his name. Weapon number two. I'm doing okay here, right? Okay. This is another weapon. And you have and the weapon is his word. You have God's word, and it is a weapon. Let's look at this in Matthew 4:4 Passion Translation. Jesus was answering the enemy, and he said, because he was being tempted by the devil. He answered and he said, "The scriptures say bread alone will not satisfy, but true life is found in every word that constantly goes forth from God's mouth." In Hebrews, and I don't have this scripture written out, but in Hebrews 4, it says God's word is alive and what? Anybody know the next part? Full of power. It is active. It is energizing. It is effective. It is a weapon. It is a weapon when we put it in our mouth and we speak it out. It is a weapon that will destroy the enemy. You've got the name of Jesus. You've got the word of God. Listen to this in Jeremiah 5:14. It says, "Therefore, thus says the Lord God of hosts, because you speak this word, behold, I will make my words in your mouth fire, and this people wood, and it shall devour them." I mean, he's telling us the word of God coming out of our mouths is like fire, and every circumstance and every situation standing in our way is like wood. And how many of you know that fire consumes wood? Fire burns up wood. When you speak God's word to your situations and your circumstances, you will see a change. The thing is, a lot of people don't really believe it. Listen, if you had the answer to your situation, it's here. It's right here in the word. But we got to put it to work. We got to put it to work. Amen? You know, you say, Pastor Judy, oh, there's just so much to do. No, you just recognize that the name of Jesus is above every name. You recognize that the devil is out to destroy you and that he is real. And then you recognize that the word of God in your mouth is full of power. I mean, that's pretty easy. Those are pretty easy instructions, aren't they? And start putting them to work. Start putting them to work. When you speak God's word over your family will come in alignment with God's word because God's word is full of power. Listen, folks, we're tolerating too much. We're just putting up with it. We're just getting by, you know. Oh, look at the world. You know, thank God we have Jesus. God doesn't want us to settle for that. He wants us to use the name of Jesus. He wants to speak. He wants to speak the word. He wants us to kick the devil. I mean, he wants us to take authority over what he's doing in us. Amen? And the third weapon is the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8 says, there is, in the Amplified, it says, but you shall receive power. How many of you got power? Ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends, the very bounds of the earth. This is the power to live, the power to overcome, the power to testify. The Holy Spirit is the power for living. He is in us. Amen. We have the Holy Spirit. John 16:7 says this, nevertheless, Jesus is talking here. I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And it talks about the attributes of the Holy Spirit and how he's our comforter. He's our counselor. He is there. And it's the power of God. Amen? It's the power of God. You receive power, ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit comes on you. The Holy Spirit knows the thoughts, the intents, and the purposes of the Father's heart. He will lead you. He will guide you. He will direct you. So many people, you know, they're looking for God. I don't know about you, but when we pray, we're always praying for the wisdom of God. We're always praying for direction and, you know, for the church and in our lives and vision. We don't just, like, make up something or do something because somebody else did it. We got to hear from the Holy Spirit. And he has the answers. And it's amazing. Sometimes I could be praying for a long time and I don't hear nothing. But you know what? I could be in the middle. I could be in the biggest rush, late for an appointment, standing behind 10 people in a line at Shaw's at the slowest cash register saying, oh, and all of a sudden God will speak to me. And he'll give me the answer that I've been wanting for something. And I'm like, oh, wow, God, you know, because I'm seeking him, because we're taking the time. You might not, don't think that he doesn't hear you, just because you don't get that answer. You know what? Sometimes the antennas just aren't out right. Sometimes we're looking for something that's not what God's saying. Hello, you guys are quiet tonight, man. Come on now. I put a lot of work into this. Glory to God. He's our comforter, our counselor, our helper, advocate, intercessor. Amen? Take heed to what the Holy Spirit says, and you'll be able to sustain a strong family and strong relationships, especially in these dark days. People are going to come to you for answers. People are going to come to you for prayer. People are going to want to know what you know and the God you serve. Amen? And so we need to be sensitive to those things. And, you know, I tell you what, if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, we talked about our kids this morning. There were so many things the Holy Spirit revealed to us. So many things. There were things, I remember there were some things going on in my son's life and the Holy Spirit, and I was ready to kill him, you know. And the Holy Spirit just arrested me. Don't do that. And I felt impressed. Go lay at the bottom of his bed at night. And so I'd go down in his room and act like I needed it. And then I would just kind of like sit for a minute and lay back and say, oh, I'm tired, and make up, I don't know what. And I'm telling you, before you know it, he was spilling his guts. And I was able to minister to him without beating him. I was able to talk through those things by grace that I wanted to just, you know what I'm saying? And stuff. So listen, the Holy Spirit, you want him involved in every part of your life. So now we come to three more things in closing that you need to do every day that will help you, okay? If you don't want to do it, it's okay. I'm not God. I'm not going to beat you up. But if you want victory, if you want life change, if you want the power of God, if you want to see signs and wonders, if you want to see things, you're going to have to submit. Amen? So number one, okay? Three things that you need to do. Now listen to me. A lot of you know you need to do these things. But I'm saying you need to challenge yourself to do these three things every day. Not just generally, but every day. Number one, daily submit yourself to God. Don't wait until, oh man, I blew it, I did this, I messed up. No, daily, just say, Lord, I submit myself to you today. Daily. James 4:7 says, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You know, the word submit in the Greek means to willingly, not forcefully, not because you better submit to God, you know? Just like, you know, I would want my kids to submit to me, you know? You'll do it and you'll like it, whatever. You were things we wanted to tell our kids, you know? You guys almost think I'm mean, but I'm not really. How many of you got mamas that you better watch out? But the word submit in the Greek, we're talking about submitting daily to God. It'll change your life. It'll help you to overcome temptation and the things that keep pulling you down. The word submit in the Greek means to willingly come up under someone else's authority. Talking about God's authority. So here it is, coming up under his authority. And this is how you do it. His way of doing things. I'm going to submit to his way of doing things. I'm going to submit to God's way of living, not my way of living. And when you do that, you're submitting to God, you're resisting the devil, and he will flee from you. Or one translation says, he will take flight from you. Having that daily relationship with him will make it easier to resist the devil and walk in your authority. Having that daily relationship where you're submitting willingly. The word resist the devil, the word resist means to stand against, to stand in opposition. If you will resist the enemy, he will flee from you. Amen? So daily, on a daily basis, you know, submit to God. Submit yourself on a daily basis. Don't just say, well, I love God and I go to church. No, every day, God, I'm going to submit to you today. I'm going to resist the devil, and he will flee from me. And I'm telling you, you might think your plan is better than God's, but his plan is way better than yours. He's got promises and purpose and destiny that you haven't even stepped a toe into yet. But when you submit to him daily, he'll begin to unfold those things. Amen? And the devil won't be able to deceive you. Number two, this is daily now. Daily close any open doors that gives the enemy access. This is hard for a lot of people. They just want to, a lot of people have just become hardened to sin, and they just do whatever is they, well, you know, yeah, but I can do what I want, and Listen, I'm telling you, the wages of sin are death, and it brings bad results, even in the New Testament. I know people think they can just go sin and do anything they want, and we have grace. Hey, it's going to reap results in this life. You may make it to heaven, but you're going to have trouble here. Daily close open doors. Go before God and say, God, I'm closing all the doors to the enemy. I am not going to give the enemy access today. Do not be ignorant of the devil's devices. In Psalm 101, 2, it says, and the worship team can come. I got one more thing after this. Psalms 101, verse 2 says, I will behave myself wisely. What if you're talking to God and you're saying, God, I will behave myself wisely, and I will give heed to the blameless way. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk within my house in integrity with a blameless heart. You know what integrity is? It's honesty. It's not playing games. It's real. It's not, you know, we all look good when we come to church, but what happens when we're in at our home or in other places? Making that daily closing, making that commitment to daily close any open doors or give the enemy access. In Ephesians 5:11, it says, take no part in and have no fellowship with the fruitless deeds and enterprises of darkness, but instead let your lives be so in contrast as to expose and reprove and convict them. And that means in your own life. Amen. There are a lot of things that we give ourselves to: anger, unforgiveness, bitterness, offense, works of the flesh, strife. I mean, we just fall into it and we act like it's just a normal everyday thing. You know, a lot of people just wake up mad. They just wake up mad in the morning. Better not talk to them. You know, and they just stay mad. Don't bother me. I'll be okay in an hour. I'm reading your meal tonight, aren't I? Hallelujah. Give him no access. You know, you give the enemy access by what you watch and what you listen to. Don't open that door. What are you watching? What are you listening to? Amen. And the third thing, boldly declare God's promises over your family every day. Three things I'm asking you to do. Three things. Number one, daily submit yourself to God. Number two, daily close any open doors that gives the enemy access. When you do it daily, you're conscious of these things. And number three, boldly declare God's promises over your family every day. Job 22:28 says, thou shalt declare a thing and it shall be established. Amen. Now, we're going to pray for families tonight, and I have a declaration that they're going to put up, and we're going to read that declaration, all right? We're going to read that declaration over our families together. Daily declare, even if you just do two or three things. No weapon formed against my family shall prosper. We are blessed coming in and blessed going out. My family's the head and not the tail. You know, in the name of Jesus, the devil can't touch my family. I mean, you daily making declarations. I remember you asked my husband. I had pages of declarations. I used to drive them crazy. And he would drive my son to school, and we had this certain prayer. We'd go through the names of God and all of this stuff. And every time he came home, I'd say, because sometimes, you know, it just doesn't seem spiritual. Sometimes it just seems like, oh, we got to do this, you know, whatever. But it is spiritual, and you need to believe it's spiritual. And every time he'd come home, I'd say, did you guys pray? Did you guys pray this? Did you guys do this? You know? And then after a while, he'd walk in the house and go, don't ask me. We pray. We declared. We did what we were supposed to do. Amen? And so because we were walking through this together, we're accountable to each other. You need to be accountable to your husband and to your wife. Amen? So I want, you're all part of a family. Everybody in this place is a part of the family, a family. You had to come from somewhere. Amen? And I want you to all get off your seats. I'm going to ask you to really honor your pastors to do this, because I want you to want this. I want you all to come to the front. All right? Make sure you can see up there, okay? And I want us all to declare this together. I'm gonna close this, and I'm gonna read it off of there. And where's Jazar? Is he around here somewhere? Yeah, maybe you could get this on our app. That would be good, a good start. But I know you can find a lot more promises. And we're gonna go ahead, and we're gonna speak this over our families. And then Patrick's going to come, and we're going to pray over your families. We're just going to lay hands on. We're going to pray over your families. Listen, you don't know what the devil's planning for you. Here today, gone tomorrow, the world says. But the word says here today, long life and blessings are upon you. People are fearing. They're going to lose their life or their kids. We don't need to walk in fear. We talked about that this morning, about the culture and the things that are happening. So let's say this, okay? I'm going to start preaching. Let's declare. We're gonna do it together. Can we do it together? At the count of three, all right? Ready? One, two, three. Father God, in Jesus' name, I declare that through skillful and godly wisdom, my life, my home, and my family are built, and by understanding, it is established on a sound and good foundation. My life and my family are securely built on Jesus Christ, who is the head of my life and home. Let's slow down a little bit. I declare that no weapon of war formed against me and my family will ever prosper. You will perfect that which concerns me, and I cast all the cares of my life once and for all on you. I am positively persuaded that you are able to guard and keep that which I have committed to you. You are more than enough for every and any situation I will ever face. We're not done yet. See, you're in a rush. See, in the mornings when you declare these things, take your time. Set aside that time. Let's continue. Father, I submit myself to you, and I resist the devil, and he must flee. You have given me power over all the strategies of Satan. So in the name of Jesus, I bind every evil force that is trying to come against my family. Satan, get your hands off my life. Get your hands off my marriage. Get your hands off my children. Get your hands off my health. Get your hands off my money. Get your hands off my church. I give you no access. You are bound and ineffective. In the name of Jesus, I declare that Jesus is Lord over my life and my family. I overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. Victory is mine now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. That took us all of 2.5 minutes. That's all every day. Speaking and declaring and meditating on those. Amen. I believe that. We're going to rise up like a giant. The devil is under our feet. And we're going to use the authority that God has given us. Amen.